I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 88.5 WMUB and 91.7 WVXU.
You look like a man who enjoys a good story. You ever hear the one about Lazarus? They say Jesus Christ performed quite a few miracles when he walked the earth. People in my congregation always took to debate about the greatest miracle. Everybody always had a different answer. For me, though, the greatest miracle, the power of life over death, resurrection.
A bit of Revelation Trail, a locally produced zombie Western film being screened at the Madison Theater in Covington Thursday evening. Revelation Trail was directed and co-written by John Gibson, a media engineer and lecturer at Northern Kentucky University, and he's joining me in the studio to discuss the film. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me today. This is fantastic.
Zombies. Why zombies?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I don't know. A couple of years ago, I'll give you the quick and dirty of about 6 years ago, a friend of mine calls me up and he says, hey, we need to make a zombie movie. And I had made like a zombie short film in college. And I was just like, oh, God, I don't want to go through that again. The makeup was bad. It was fun, but. And I'm like, let's make a Western that happens to have some zombies in it. And so that just kind of spiraled from there. So that's, I guess, why zombies. Really, it just goes back to that conversation about 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, and that's where it all came from.
I was going to say this has been kind of years in the making.
It has been, exactly. About 6 years. The quick story of Revelation Trail is we started writing 6 years ago. It took us about 2 years to get enough money to shoot some marketing trailers. So we had this full feature-length script, but we didn't have enough money to actually shoot the full film. My brother, older brother, being nice to me, not beating me up or anything, my brother donates enough money for us to shoot these marketing trailers, which then builds up enough interest online, and we start to build a pretty dedicated fan base, and then eventually we raise enough money to shoot the feature. So that's kind of that lengthy process.
And Kickstarter, you used
yes,
Kickstarter.
We did have some shortcomings on our budget. We actually had to, the quick story is we had to split our production between a summer and a winter in 2011 because we lost a fort, a historic fort we're going to shoot at. My historical advisor says, look, I can build you a fort in a month if you give me enough time. And we all look at him and are like, you're going to build us a pillow fort. Oh, good gravy. This is going to be, you know. And sure enough, he's a Civil War reenactor. He was like, no, man, I'll build you a fort. And so he built this fort. But in the meantime, we had to raise that money through Kickstarter because that split in that production meant we got to pay for more hotels. We essentially had to winterize our production is how I look at it. Because, you know, all the clothing we had in the summer, well, I'm not going to have extras going out in short sleeves and things like that, you know. So we had to winterize everything.
You got a lot of help along the way. You talk about the fort, borrowed wood you found.
Yeah, exactly. Barns that would collapse and, you know, people that were kind enough to say, hey, you know, if you take it off my property, you can have it for $100. $100 for a full barn of like authentic, you know, that antique kind of wood, it's a steal, you know. And then sometimes we'd go to a place where like, yeah, this house collapsed on my property. You can have the door, the windows, all this stuff. So we would get like the old antique door frames and things like that. And that's what we built this fort out. But you're right. It was a lot of help, a lot of luck. I contribute both of those things to the success of this film and a lot of dedication, you know, from the people involved in it.
Well, in looking at the trailer, just lovely look to it and sound to it. We heard a little bit right there. You've done a great job. Where does your filmmaking background come from?
My filmmaking background, I was a history major and a political science minor.
That's why I
asked.
Yeah,
I know, exactly. My filmmaking background, and it's funny, I'll tell my students that, and they're just like, really? I'm like, yeah, you never know in like a simple conversation is going to take you at some point. So my background's political science and history, but film was always something I did as a side project, a side hobby. You know, I used to make really cheesy stop motion movies with clay and G.I. Joe figures in high school. If there was a way, I always joke, if there was a way that I could get out of a book project in high school with a movie, I would do it. You know, so it was almost like it literally was an escape mechanism then. But then in college, I got involved in a film club, started meeting more filmmakers, working with different projects. Long story short, I eventually get up to Northern Kentucky University and I work in the electronic media program, and I start meeting all these students who have these similar interests. And I mentioned at one point, yeah, I'm working on a Western horror film. Just like that, I have, you know, 30 people who are like, I want to be a part of this, even if it's just getting coffee, you know. And so that's kind of how it all snowballed. So I'm kind of proud to say a lot of my crew actually are my former students, which has been kind of cool.
Oh, you mentioned, you know, Kickstarter, but this still puts the low and low budget movie making.
It really
right?
does. It really does. And I oftentimes joke with people like there were no creature comforts on set. There are probably some things that are not safe for radio, or at least this hour, that I could talk about. But we'll talk about the safe ones. I mean, you know, you're out in the heat, in the elements. You're shooting a Western. There is no such thing as air conditioning or air conditioned trailers. You know, you've got battery powered fans and off, you know, you're just spraying it all over you. And we slept 7 to a hotel room sometimes and things like that. It really was everything we had went into the film, you know, right even down to the wardrobe. Most of our wardrobe came from actually the Gap Clearance Center. I hope I'm okay to mention product placement on this. Gap Clearance Center that we would take buttons off, resew them with wooden buttons, and then take sandpaper to the shirts and just shred them apart and stuff. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we did.
Amazing work that is happening. But tell us a little bit about the story for Revelation Trail.
Sure,
I mean,
we're
talking about the movie making part of it,
exactly.
but tell us about the movie.
Okay, well, the movie, it's funny, is the movie at times actually parallels the making of, which that's a pretty good transition. The movie itself is it's a story about sacrifice, some death and rebirth elements. You get a little bit of that in the clip that you guys just played. But essentially, the movie is the story of a preacher during the 1880s. And this isn't giving anything away, but if you read the description, you know, online, that's the reason why I feel okay saying this. He loses everything, you know, family, essentially the world he lives in, and it's finding new purpose in this world of the undead. So we play off some of the classic Western tropes of like the changing frontier, which, you know, in our case, it's not the telegraph line or the railroad line coming through. It's the undead rising. We play on the whole man with no name mythos that works itself into it. So you've got the story of the preacher at finding new purpose. But then you also have the story of this martial character who represents the man of law. And so it really gave us this nice like dichotomy of like, how does the preacher see this? What's his worldview of everything going on? What is the marshal's character? And so I like to think of it as it's a character-based Western horror in that order. But it's also a road movie because they are on this journey of sorts, and you get to see the different paths that those characters go on in this movie.
You know, we were talking about how you made a lot out of a little, and it's a road movie, but being a Western, it's got horses.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. Yes, horses were probably – I joke with my students a lot of times. I'm like, you know what you guys want to know what the hardest thing about being a director/producer was when it comes to scheduling? And they're like, what? I go, scheduling around horses. People, I can say things like, hey, you know, we're going to have to redo this because it's more convenient for this person to come. But if you only have horses – 2 days out of an entire 4-week shoot, it's like, all right, man, the horses are their stars at this point. So yeah, horses were an interesting, they don't take, sometimes they take direction very well. Sometimes they pretty much just look at me and are like, no, I'm going to keep walking this way. I don't care how you're directing me.
Well, what was the most difficult thing about making the movie? I mean, you know, we talked about we just had some minor resources
to
use. But,
you know, that's going to be a common thing. You know, you'll hear a lot, you know, like it's always going to be difficult making something on low resources. I think the most difficult thing for me, I think about this a lot. There's part of it was that 6-year process. It was waiting, you know, I can talk about the most difficult thing being on set may have been like the long days, the heat, but we also kind of thrived on that. You know, you get a production high at the end of an 18-hour day and you're in the zone. But for me, part of the problem was for 6 years, I had to pretty much just wait. Like, when is it going to be our turn to make this movie? When are we going to be able to do this? And, you know, talking to my crew a lot of times, because several of them had been with me for several years, and I have to say things like, we're going to try to do it this year. We're going to try to do it this summer. If we get enough money, we'll do it. And you got to figure these are a bunch of folks who have just stayed dedicated that entire time. And even fans on Facebook who'd been with us all along who are like, when are y'all going to make this movie? When are you going to? It's like, guys, we're going to, you know. And so that was actually, for me, the more I think about it, probably the most difficult thing was the wait, you know.
Well, it's having a screening at the Madison Theater in Covington on Thursday, but this is not the debut. You have already screened it before.
Yes, and real quick, because I just so I don't forget on this, because I wrote a little note, that screening is being brought to us by the Old West Festival and the Dent Schoolhouse. So to all, and you talk about support, those are two folks that have, or two groups have been involved who've given us so much support to make this possible. But you're right, this isn't the first time it's ever been shown. We actually we screened it in Western Kentucky. We shot 40% of it in Northern Kentucky, Southern Ohio, and then the rest of it was Western Kentucky, Southern Illinois, because that's primarily where I'm from and some of the actors were from. And so when we screened it down in Western Kentucky, we had five screenings. Four of them were completely sold out. The fifth one was at like 90% capacity, you know, so I'm pretty much just like, sold out, you know. And it was, the response was incredible, you know. And so up here, it's looking to be the same, you know. I mean, I'm stoked. You know, this is our official Northern Kentucky Cincinnati premiere, so it's kind of cool for a lot of the crew to be able to bring it home to their families and friends to see it.
Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about the process, and can't wait to see the product, shall we say.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
John Gibson, he is the co-writer and director of Revelation Trail. It will be screened at the Madison Theater in Covington Thursday night. Doors open at 7, film starts at 8, and there will be a question-answer session with the filmmakers afterward. A link to get advance tickets can be found at our website at wvxu.org. And a lot of fun. It sounds like a good zombie western coming to the theater near you. This is Cincinnati Edition, and it's time for Working for the Weekend every Monday afternoon, with the weekend just over. Looking forward to next weekend and seeing some exciting things to do around the tri-state area. And today, focusing on the great parks of Hamilton County's Shaker Trace Nursery Open House. It's coming up on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., a chance for you to tour the state's largest publicly held native seed nursery at the Shaker Trace Nursery. And that is out at Miami Whitewater Forest, or at least nearby. And on the phone with me is the nursery manager, Tim Osborne. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon.
So, Tim, tell me about the origin of the Shaker Trace Nursery out there at Miami Whitewater Forest. When did it start, and why did it start?
So it actually started in the fall of 1991 with the help of our volunteers. They assisted the land management department, and they hand-collected seeds of native plants within a 100-mile radius of the nursery, and that's to keep the same genotype. And from that, we've grown, and we're up to about 200 native plant species now. And from those original seeds, we've sown them and grown plants, and we've harvested from those original seeds and plants seeds for the last 21, 22 years.
And this was all to make sure that our great parks here in Hamilton County had native plants and not necessarily invasive plants, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's an ongoing battle with invasive plants. And we've been pretty successful at eradicating a lot, for example, honeystuckle and easel out in the prairie. And once you have eradicated them, we like to go in and replace them with some native plants. And we actually started with restoring old farmlands into prairies out here at Miami Whitewater Forest. And that's kind of how that was the whole purpose of the nursery, and that's why it got started. We've been very successful with that.
Now, it's not only plants, but I understand you have a few fish out there, too.
3 years ago, I think, or maybe 4 years ago, we started an aquaculture facility out here. We've got five ponds, and the purpose was to raise hybrid bluegill and to try to encourage fishing for children. The hybrid bluegill seemed to hit about any bait, and it makes it interesting for the children and not so boring for a lot of them. And from that, we hope to get some other fish species. But right now, it's the hybrid bluegill, and we're able to save a lot of money raising them ourselves as opposed to buying in the fingerlings and stocking the ponds.
Now, what's going to happen on Saturday when you hold your open house? What will visitors be able to see and do?
Well, the visitors will be able to come out, meet some of the employees out here, myself included, and see where the seed comes from. And they can look at some of the original plants that we collected the seed from. They can see how we dry them, how we process them. They can see the seed storage room, which is a climate-controlled room that can keep the seed in there viable for years. And they can also see the aquaculture ponds.
Tim Osborne, the nursery manager of the Shaker Trace Nursery. They're holding an open house Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find out details on our website, wvxu.org, Shaker Trace Nursery, located in Miami Whitewater Forest on New Haven Road. Thanks again, Tim.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 and 88.5. Technical director for today's show was Rick Andres. Producer was Pete Reinmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. Thanks to Craig Johnson for spending time with us today and John Gibson as well. You can find archives of Cincinnati Edition stories on wvxu.org. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for The Takeaway coming up next.